Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. Good morning. A beautiful day, a beautiful patch of time coming, right? It's going to be spectacular for several days.
Oh, several days of summer, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Hey, this is our 2 weeks. Then winter will be back.
That's right. Anyway, welcome everybody. I have the one and only Dr. Jerry Mixon.
I did notice that, it was Pete Talbot with Samara Umat.
Yes.
And so I guess I just have to bring out my feminine side today.
Yes, yes, yes. Dr. Umat is at an appointment right now.
Yep, she'll be
here at 9:30, or give or take. And so in the meantime, at 8:30, we've got Dr. Dan Nelson coming for a while. We're going to talk about pain. So if you're in pain, some say the number one reason people go to the doctor, which is one reason we have Dr. Dan Nelson on here every once in a while. Now, it'll be his first time in the studio for about 4 or 5 months.
Yep.
We've had him call in for 5 or 10 minutes here and there. Last week we had Dr. Michael Gilbert actually in the studio for the first time in 4 or 5 months, and the phones went nuts, and so they'll probably go nuts because I know a whole lot of people are in pain. In fact, you're in pain.
Yeah, off and on.
Well, off and on. You've got a question for Dan.
That's right.
And I certainly have been in pain, and Dan's been incredibly helpful. So be thinking of your questions for Dr. Dan Nelson at 8:30 today. But in the meantime, let me give out the phone number, and then you've got some information about genetics and the coronavirus.
Yep.
And then, so let me give out the number if you have a question. For the next short while, you've got Dr. Jerry Mixon. Soon, you'll have Dr. Dan Nelson. And then after that, when Dan leaves, you'll have Dr. Samara Umat here. Here's the number for your questions, 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. So tell us, what's the relationship between genetics and the coronavirus?
Well, there's over 6 billion, that's with a 6 with 9 zeros, letters in the human genetic code. And a change of one of those letters out of 6 billion makes a difference in how well, in some aspect of our being. So it doesn't take much. You know, I've seen articles where people are saying, well, this can't have anything to do with genetics and race because it's, you know, humans are 99.9% the same. And that's true. But I would point out that 0.1% of 6 billion is 6 million.
So there are
6 million differences in human beings.
Okay.
That's a lot of change, a lot of variation. And since we are historically, rather inbred. You know, people from South Africa over the last 10,000 years did not usually have babies with people from Norway. And people in Norway had very few babies with people in what's now Cambodia. And so we are genetically inbred. We've developed certain specific characteristics based on our ancestry. Now, right now, depending on which set of numbers you believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 7% of the American population is multiracial.
Okay.
Have ancestors of more than one racial group. And so, you know, those start become wild cards. We really start to mix. But the reality is that relatively small changes in one letter. For instance, there is a newer variant of the coronavirus that has changed an arginine for a glycine. That one change made the virus far more aggressive at infecting Caucasians.
Okay.
And the other thing is, of course, we are changing the virus as it goes through our immune system. It goes into me or you. It replicates. Our immune system is attacking it and making alterations in it. And then we spread our new version of the virus out to somebody else. So it's always in a state of flux, and that we see that with influenza changing year to year to year. And we're getting the same thing with the coronavirus. But it's not all genetics. It's also culture. We in even just here in the United States have multiple subcultures. You know, folks in New England eat a very different diet than folks in Louisiana.
You bet. Hugely different.
But dietary changes, dietary patterns make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And since our races are not evenly distributed through the country, there's a lot more African-American ancestry in Louisiana than there is in Maine, right? Then that impacts the races differently. So we have both genetic differences and we have cultural and lifestyle differences. And culture and lifestyle can also have a big impact. People who tend to be more sedentary are higher risk of coronavirus. People that carry extra body fat are increased risk of coronavirus. People that have more insulin resistance have increased risk of coronavirus. So lifestyle, diet, genetics, all of them play a part. And then we get the fact that the virus is changing. And so do humans from time to time. If you look at, some folks have said, well, it can't be race, it has to be poverty. But I'd like to point out that Thailand is a very poor country. But A, they're Asian. B, they're lean. C, they're physically active compared to those of us in a modern American culture. Thailand, in the first 6 months of the viral outbreak, had 14 deaths.
My
in the whole country. 14 Thais died. Period.
Amazing. And they could have been 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
90-year-olds.
The fact is, yeah. Well, and they could have been Caucasian vacationers.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. Right. That's true.
The fact is that, you know, we have thousands. We have 145,000 Americans have died, 14 Thais.
Wow.
Okay. And Thailand is a much poorer country than the United States. The difference in genetics and lifestyle has an enormous impact on where we are. Now, we can't do much about your genome, but we can do something about genetic expression. We call that epigenetics. And the way you live, your lifestyle, your diet, your exercise, your weight has a big impact on which of your genes are expressed and put you at risk or at resistance. So we can't change our ancestors. Yeah. But we can change the way we live. We can change the way we eat. And that can have a lot to do with our protection or susceptibility to dying of coronavirus.
So people are accusing, making racist claims.
Yes, it's the doctor's fault. They're all a bunch of racists. And you know,
they're not treating the black community, for example.
And it's foolishness. No one has been able to document any change or any differences, really. You know, there are, again, cultural differences. If you wait at home longer before you go to the doctor, you're at higher risk of dying.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't show up until you're at death's door, they got less chance of saving you. So cultural changes do make a difference, but that's not the doctor's fault that you didn't show up. That's not the hospital's fault you didn't show up.
Sure.
They can only treat you if you come in the door and ask for help. So.
How strange.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's fascinating, as always. Thank you. That's good. And let me just remind everybody one more time. I'll probably give it out a few times today. Here's the number if you've got a question, 800-465-8770. We do have a few calls. We've got one line open right now. We've got a question from Terry about vitamin D. John wants says he's got pain in his left groin area. Ouch. Jan from Puyallup has a question about HGH. We haven't had a question about that for a while.
It's been quite a, it's been a couple of years.
Still an irritating topic as far as I'm concerned. In the state of Washington, we'll talk about that. And then, of course, your call, because you'll call us at 800-465-8770. Another quick reminder, Dr. Dan Nelson will be here 8:30 to 9:30. So if you're in pain, doesn't matter what kind of pain. I've had two calls in the last 24 hours, both yesterday, from friends. One had a son with a knee, with a hip problem, and the other had a knee problem. And so you probably have a pain. If you're interested in Dr. Dan Nelson's ideas, you're going to be glad he's here. Shall we take a quick call before the first break?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go to Terry in Montlake Terrace. Terry, welcome once again to the program.
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, hi. Vitamin D dosing question, but a little bit of background you need to know about. Several years ago, I had a SpectraCell micronutrient absorption test, which showed weaker than optimal absorption of vitamin D, even though serum level was up at 80. Okay. And since then, I've had a 23andMe, and so I've got some variants in the vitamin D receptor genes. So that is will affect my question on dosing. Mm-hmm. So at the end of March, all this stuff hit. I jumped up my dose, 10,000 IUs a day of liposomal, sometimes 20,000. I went for about a week at 20,000. Anyway, tested on May 17th, and I was at 40. Kept the dosing level up. Tested July 7th at 42.5. Is it even realistic to get to 80 by the end of September? And if so, what would I dose?
You know, probably your best bet if you really want to get to 80 by the end of September would be to follow the pattern of the Finnish, you know, who have these incredibly long, dark winters. And the doctors there will often give people 250,000 international units intramuscularly.
all at once.
Yeah, as an injection to carry them through the winter.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works.
Okay.
It's a fat-soluble vitamin, and so, you know, they boost their levels way up, and then they come down slowly through the winter because they don't get any sun.
Yeah.
Your problem, obviously, is, and this is something I brought out many times, when people ask me what is the right dose, it's not what you put in your mouth. It's what you absorb and how you metabolize it. And what are your blood levels? That's why we check blood levels. That's why when the feds say, you know, this is the correct dose, they're blowing smoke. You have a genetic variant that means you don't absorb it well. You may also metabolize it differently than the rest of us. So, you know, if 20 isn't doing the job, go to 30 or 40 for a while. Keep checking your blood levels because, again, it's not what goes in your mouth. It's what you absorb and how you metabolize it.
Yep, I get it. I'll go to 30 or 40.
You know, you're back to Dr. Mixon's second rule of medicine, okay, you know, which is the proper dose of anything is enough to do the job. But if you don't measure, you don't know.
That's right. Hey, thanks, Terry, for that call. Vitamin D in the summer, should I still keep taking my vitamin D?
You probably don't need nearly as much in the summer because I know you love to go out and bask in the sun and work on your skin cancer. But,
That's what I like to do.
Yes, it is. I know. I see you come back from vacation, you know, with skin like leather, but it's thoroughly tan.
Who said I have supple?
It's brown and cracked and looks ghastly. But anyway, It's like those gorgeous 16-year-olds of my youth that, you know, spent all their time out slathering themselves with cocoa butter and using tin foil to get a deeper tan.
I'll have you know, a professional makeup artist last week, literally, I was doing some TV stuff, and she, oh, you have wonderful skin. You're going to be the because I was a couple other. No, you'll be the easiest to do.
Yeah, she didn't see you when you came back from 2 weeks in Hawaii. So, oh yeah. Anyway, the point is that this question about vitamin D did raise my thoughts about the coronavirus, since we had just been talking about that. And there are good studies now showing that higher levels of vitamin D provide better protection against coronavirus. And once more, one of the differences in Thailand and America is Thailand is a very, very sunny place close to the equator, and they spend a lot of time outside.
Sure.
And a consequence of that is vitamin D levels in Thailand are much higher than average vitamin D levels in Seattle and New York.
Well, there's another reason I take vitamin D. I mean, I take it all year long. Well, maybe not when I'm in Hawaii quite as much. You're right. But for my just my mood and
you
are the one that told me about that. It was instrumental.
Sure. You know, vitamin D is not a vitamin. First of all, we call it a vitamin. It's not. It's a secosteroid. Vitamins are things that your body can't produce. You make vitamin D. Okay? You start with vitamin D1. It goes to vitamin D2. It goes to vitamin D3. And it ends up as 25-hydroxy vitamin D. But it's a misnomer. You know, back in the 1930s or 40s when we discovered it, we thought your body couldn't make it. We now know you do make it. So, anyway.
Interesting.
So it's a secosteroid, but like all steroids, it has an impact on mood. It impacts the way your brain works.
Excellent. And for those of you who know, without all the details, I struggled with depression for 27 years. I no longer do because I dealt with the root cause, thanks to this guy right here. But that's a story for another day. In the meantime, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, another couple of calls. And in about 10 minutes, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. If you're in pain, seriously, if you're having trouble with some kind of pain, especially if your doctor has said, oh, you need a knee replacement, a hip replacement, or you have bone on bone, something serious here you got to do, boy, do you want to stick around. Don't go far. Past the hour, Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me here in the studio for the next 4 hours, actually. If you want to know where we are for all 4 hours, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the little podcast button at the top of the page, and you'll see where we are for all 4 hours. The first 2 hours, 8 to 10, we're right here on 770 KTTH. And then you can find us from 10 to 12 by going to lmclinic.com, pushing the podcast button, and you can find out where we are. Plus, when you hear something that you go, holy cow, I need to listen to that again, or I want my wife to listen to it, or my cousin, or my next door neighbor, what have you, by pushing that podcast button, you can have access to all of our previous shows, including this one right here, will be on our website probably by Monday afternoon, something like that. So you can always go back and listen to the teaching of Dr. Mixon or you, Matt, or one of our guests by going to lmclinic.com. Okay, let's take another quick call. Actually, what I need to do, because I've got Dan Nelson coming, I want to remind everybody some interesting things are happening with our free health analysis appointments. We opened up through the first half of August, and so we have about 30 appointments, actually about 37 appointments, because we opened up Linwood and Kirkland through the middle of August. But I added an extra week in Tacoma, went through the third week in Tacoma, because they have zero appointments in the first 2 weeks. So we open up that third week. Bottom line is we are doing away with eliminating the $100 of free supplements at the end of August. So if you would like the two free tests and the time with us here at Longevity, with the free health analysis appointment, you get the two free tests. And through August, if you come in, you'll still get the $100 of free longevity supplements.
If you wait till September, you're out of luck.
You're out of luck. No more free supplements. But, you know, we might bring that back in December or next year or something like that. But obviously, we are in such demand. We broke a record. We're not doing any advertising, nothing. And people are just snatching up the appointments for darn good reason, from word of mouth and referral. You get the two free tests. So for goodness sakes, if you've been meaning to, you're a procrastinator. I've been a procrastinator. I know what that's all about. You know you want one of the free tests. You just haven't gotten around to it. Well, if you want the $100 of free longevity supplements, why don't you do it soon by the end of August? Okay? Makes good sense to me. You make your own appointment, at least most of you will, by going to our website, lmclinic.com, and you push the free appointment button right in the middle of the homepage. You can't miss it. And you schedule your own appointment. And like I say, we have some appointments in all three of our clinics until halfway through August. We've opened them up. Plus in Tacoma, because we don't have any at all, we opened up the third week in August with some appointments. I think there's 8 or 10 in there. So I want you to grab them now by going to lmclinic.com. It's very, very, very easy to make your own appointment. If for some reason you can't, you can call on Monday, 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. But again, 95% of you historically will make your appointment. It's free, the two free tests, and the free $100 of longevity supplements at lmclinic.com. I hope you will do that. All right, let us go. I'm going to skip John in Federal Way, who has a pain issue. So, John, you hang on there. Let's go to Jan in Puyallup and talk about HGH.
But, John, the reason he's skipping you is because he's waiting for our pain specialist to get here at 8:30.
Well, yes. Right.
Explain to John why you're skipping.
Well, I've been talking about Dan Nelson.
You don't hate people named John.
That's right.
Okay? It's not bias.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
You want to help him.
Go ahead. Okay. And now we're with Jan in Puyallup.
Hello, Jan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about I was taking an HGH, you know, booster, you know, like a supplement that helps you produce your own. And last September, had been a change on the so-called H-spot on my face. And I suspected that was it might be cancer. And it wound up being melanoma.
Oops.
And by the time they did surgery, which was on March 19th, it was about the size of a dime, and it was ugly.
Okay.
Anyway, as soon as I suspected that that the change might be cancerous, I stopped taking the HGH because I'd heard before that if you've had cancer, you shouldn't use it. Is that true?
We don't really. Yeah, we don't really know that it. Okay, let me get to the core of your question, which was, you know, was the HGH responsible? A, you weren't, unless it was a doctor's prescription and an injection, it wasn't HGH. It was a supplement probably that contained arginine, in an effort to boost your body's production of HGH. And arginine works in high enough doses, but the older you are, the less effective it tends to be. So, you know, my first question would be, had it raised your levels, and if so, by how much? And so for that, you needed to get a blood test before you started it, and then get another blood test 3 or 4 months after you started it to see if there was actually a difference. Because in most people over 60, there won't be one.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't thinking that it caused the cancer, but if you, I had heard that if you have had cancer, that you probably shouldn't take it.
Yeah. And we do that out of an abundance of caution. We don't really know that raising your levels to physiologic range or to mid ranges would cause an acceleration of the tumor growth. There's no studies that actually say that's true. It's just that because it is a growth factor and tumors, cancers are growing faster than we want them to, we make the assumption that it might impact it. Okay. And so most doctors will not give growth hormone to people that either have an active tumor or have had one in the recent past. Reality is, however, that young people who have growth hormone levels 2 and 3 times higher than people in their 60s have much lower incidence of tumors, and they tend to survive better when they get them, despite the fact that their growth hormone levels are much higher than we older folks. So, you know, so we don't give it to people that have the cancers. On the other hand, we don't really have any proof that giving it to them would do any harm. We just don't know for sure that it doesn't do any harm. Mm-hmm. And since our default position is try not to do things that might do harm, we avoid it. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
I've had, you know, I had the surgery and then I had 6 weeks of radiation.
Uh-huh, good.
Sentinel nodes were clear. And so if I took it, I mean, would you suggest I do or don't? I still have 2 boxes of this stuff.
Well, like I said, most of the time in people over 60, the supplements that are sold to raise growth hormone levels don't really do much of anything. You know, it would be interesting, go in, get your IGF-1 level, which is our marker for growth hormone production. Get your IGF-1 level, see where it is, go back on your capsules or your pills or whatever it is for a couple of months, and then recheck it and see if you're wasting your money or not. Because there's a good chance it doesn't make any difference at all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. That opens up line at 800-465-8770.
Let me throw in another comment. There is a company that is claiming that their product increases growth hormone production by 600%. And I looked at the study that they used to flack their product. First of all, the ingredients are wildly overpriced. They're charging like $100 a month. We sell it to our patients as triple aminos for something in the neighborhood of $25 or $30 a month.
Yeah, that's right.
We find that it works pretty well in young people, but the older you get, the less effective it tends to be. And so by the time they reach the age of this lady, it usually doesn't do a whole lot. But that study makes no sense. A really healthy person who's 20 years old We'll run an IGF in the neighborhood of 200, maybe 250. An old person will run it down around 90 or 100. If they were getting a 600% increase, they'd be up to 550, which is serious overdoses.
Sure.
And they would have all sorts of adverse impact from those really, really massive overdoses. The fact that they are not getting sued every day of the week for toxic reactions tells me that their study was garbage. Second, I've seen a lot of other studies using very similar ingredients, and they don't get anywhere near that rise.
Right.
So, you know, first of all, the company selling it is a ripoff, and probably is not doing any good for most of the people that are taking it. But because those people didn't check their blood levels before and after they started it,
they never know.
They never know. And the placebo effect is wonderful.
Yeah.
You take a pill that's supposed to make you feel better, and suddenly you feel better. Well, I have no objection to feeling better, but is it actually due to a change in your growth hormone levels?
Or the
that would be nice to know.
Or the fact that you spent $99
every month for the last 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, that I was about to say during her call, I wanted her to be done with the call. That's what irritates me the most. It's the marketing of that particular product.
Yeah, they're marketed based on a study that makes no sense whatsoever, and no one else has ever managed to replicate. And science works for everybody, not just for the company selling stuff. And, you know, and so I have serious doubts. But again, it's easy to check. Check your IGF-1 before you start it. Check your IGF-1 after you've got it. If you've actually doubled and tripled your IGF-1 levels, great.
Well, what about but I doubt six it. Times?
A sixfold, you're going to become really sick. Your forehead is going to get great big and bossed, and your jaw is going to grow, and your hands are going to become basically, you've seen Andre the Giant?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you would look like. Okay? So if it really raised your levels 600%, it's turning you into Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, really ugly. Nobody wants to look like that.
Yeah, you know, I was talking, so. Well, it is frustrating. It's just frustrating. I've often heard you say, but we've seen the ads and what have you, and we've talked about this product. You don't want to mention the name of it. We may have people taking it every day.
Well, my thing is, you know, if you're taking a supplement that claims to raise your growth hormone levels.
Okay, leave it at that.
Check your levels before you take the supplement. Check your levels again after 3 to 6 months and see. And, you know, if your IGF-1 has gone from 80 to 200, wonderful. But if it's gone to 500, you're in deep doo-doo.
Okay. Okay.
But more likely, if it was 80, it'll be 83.
Okay. So. Now, what's been kind of hilarious is they're selling it for about $100 a month. And the actual cost to manufacture that, I think you've said $6, something like that?
Well, the ingredients. But, you know, by the time you get the packaging and the marketing and stuff, you're probably up. I mean, I think ours is $20 or $25 or something.
Retail,
you know, it probably costs us $15-$18 to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we would never sell that for $100.
No.
Ever. That's called gouging.
But they've convinced people that, you know, it does all these fabulous things that it probably doesn't do.
Well, it had some big names behind it, too.
Yep.
That are now embarrassed. But
you
that's another story.
Pay enough money to an endorser.
A TV doctor that everybody knows shall remain nameless. So there we go. I'm hoping that Dr. Dan Nelson, he's a little bit late. He just texted me, said he's on his way, a little bit late, but he will be here soon. Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho.
Why don't we check with the person waiting to find out if they want to continue waiting for Dan or call back?
Okay. Well, he is coming. I'll bet you he'll be here within 2 or 3 minutes.
So. All right.
Well, long story short, we do have a couple of lines open. Call us with your questions at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. So don't go far. We'll be back before you know it. Good morning to you, Dr. Dan Nelson.
Good morning. How are you, Pete? Good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you in the flesh, you know? Yeah. Instead of, you know, over the phone or whatever.
And it's so nice that I haven't had to see you professionally lately.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's it. I'm still out of pain.
We're okay seeing you socially.
That's right.
If it's not a medical reason, I'm totally okay with that.
That's right.
As you are.
And it's about time we get out to Echo Falls and try another round of golf.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, you were going to say something? You want to join us for golf, Jerry?
No, he will not do that.
I am afraid that if the Greens Committee finds me on the course, they may shoot to kill.
that is awesome.
I've done horrible things to their greens.
So listen, folks, it is always fun. You haven't been here in the studio for like 4 or 5 months.
Yes.
We keep having you call in
right.
now and again.
Which
but
is good.
Welcome. It's good to actually see you here in the studio.
Although I am curious, your jacket has what appears to be a Black Widow spider on it as an emblem.
Yeah.
And yours, mine says boss.
You're the boss. Yeah.
Yours has a Black Widow.
So this is
is it good for a doctor to have a Black Widow as his emblem?
You know, I never thought of that. It's a spider sweater jacket.
Yeah,
it's
I've
a well known skiing apparel.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I never thought of the Black Widow implication. Well, I won't take this to the office.
It's got that hourglass on its back. I mean, it's in blue instead of red, but still.
Yeah, there is an hourglass on it.
Yes.
There, which is pathognomonic for a
Black Widow spider. Yes.
Okay, does anybody have like a black marker that I can just kind of hourglass out of there?
We'll figure that later. We're having entirely too much fun.
Yes,
so let's
never
go
too
to
much
some
fun.
Calls.
Same.
All right. Bottom line, Dr. Dan Nelson is with Pro Ortho. He is our pain guy. In fact, some research shows that pain is the number one reason people go to a doctor. And, you don't have a specialty within it. Your specialty is pain in general. So you have lots of ways to deal with pain. You're not just replacing knees, shoulders, hips, that kind of a thing. You deal with all kinds of pain. And you've helped me a couple of times, actually with three different things that were pretty serious as far as I'm concerned.
Do we have you on the frequent flyer program at this point?
That's it. Anyway, we're going to take some calls now that are for you.
Excellent.
And we'll just sort of see where those calls go. Let's start off with John in Federal Way. John, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning, everybody. I sure appreciate you guys being there. My wife and I have been patients of Dr. Mixon and his clinic for over 20 years, and we really appreciate the great care we've received.
Well, thank you.
My problem is, probably not related to anything skeletal, but I have a problem with a pain in the left, starting above the left testicle, running up almost my belly button on the left side. And I can feel that the cord has kind of enlarged a little bit as compared to the right side. Medical history, I had a bowel resection and the appendix is gone, and also had a hernia on the right side. All this started about after 3 months ago, after I installed a pull-up bar, and I was doing up to 10 pull-ups at a time. And I noticed a slight pain, but not very much, and so I thought, well, it's just a pull muscle or something, I'll work through it. But it got pretty bad about 2 weeks ago, and I went to see I wanted to see a urologist because that's where I thought it was. But I couldn't get a hold of them. I went in to see my internal medicine doctor, and I got a CT scan and blood work, and everything's normal. I couldn't find anything. He recommended seeing a gastroenterologist and perhaps checking with a surgeon for a hernia. But I think the place I need to go is a urologist, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, sir.
So you're having pain, John, in the testicle area and in the lower part of the abdomen on the left side?
It tracks from above the testicle on cords going right up the left side to the just short of the belly button.
The thing that I'm curious about, you described it as thickening of the cord.
Right, yeah, what's that?
Now, can you be able to, is this the... The testicle itself is not tender or enlarged, but then as you reach above the testicle to the cord structures, is that what's thickened? When you say the cord is thick, what are we describing here?
The portion beyond the testicle. The testicle is okay. There's no problem with that.
So the spermatic cord probably is what we're talking about, right?
Which then contains the nerves and the blood supply and the spermatic cord.
Yeah.
And my first guess, did your internist do an exam. Did he check you for a hernia? Did he reach down and put his finger up along that cord structure and have you bear down?
Yes.
Okay, and he didn't feel a hernia. He didn't feel a bulge then?
No.
All right. You know, because this sounds very much like an entrapment syndrome of some sort.
Right.
In which you've got something putting some pressure along that spermatic cord. And the most common cause is indeed a hernia. You know, so when you hear hoofbeats, you think, you know, you think horses, not zebras.
Right.
But, you know, but first you gotta take a look. And this is why the guys on the radio are probably very poorly qualified to examine something that requires a physical exam. You wouldn't see it on a CT usually unless it was bulging at the time. And the fact that it came on when you were doing push-ups or started with that, with the pull-ups, you're increasing your muscle tone. You're tightening up those stomach muscles and you're putting increased pressure down on those cord structures. And so the inguinal ring probably started giving way, so you may have a very mild hernia there, mm-hmm. that's just got enough pressure on the cord structures to give you grief. So yes, the urologist certainly should be able to find it. Any decent surgeon, well, most family doctors diagnose these on a regular basis. But somebody needs to go and do a really thorough physical examination.
Right.
To come up with an answer for you.
John, is that pain? You said it's pain there, right? Is it pain? Is the pain there constantly or just intermittently?
No, intermittently. And since I don't know what it is after seeing the doctor, it kind of went away.
Oh. it's the car mechanic thing. You know, you take your car in and the rattle goes away.
Yeah. That's a little bit of it, but I'd like to. My regular urologist, I can't get in to see him until September, and I was wondering if you could recommend one.
I can recommend one certainly. If you want to give my office a call, John, on Monday morning, I will give you anywhere from one to three urologists that we can refer to you right away. Oh, and I don't think it'll be September before you can see them.
Oh, that's great. Now, there's one thing I'd like to mention. I talked to you this before, Dr. Mixon. About 3 months ago, I started injections for HGH, and I did the last InBody machine, and my muscle mass is up over a pound, and my strength has gone up. I had a stationary bike that I brought back from Arizona. And it's in two pieces, and I just picked it up and put it in the house. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, I couldn't do that a few months ago.
Yes.
Why don't you explain that as a patient of longevity, you didn't get HGH from us.
Unfortunately, in our state, we can't use it for older people that really need it. You know, it's our board ignores both the law and the science, which is really stupid. But
yeah, did I hear nanny state in the background when you said that?
Yeah, you hear you hear people who put politics ahead of science,
right?
You know, and it just makes no sense. Most of the country, doctors can write his growth hormone. Older men, you know, as your growth factors decline. Replacing some of those growth factors help you to get stronger and leaner and smarter. You know, it improves your brain function. It improves your muscle function. We just can't write it in Washington State.
So you've got to go out of state to get it.
Which is actually one of the reasons that I want to put those other clinics we've talked about down in Texas so I would have somebody that could write it.
That's right.
And we'll see.
Thank you for the call, John.
I'm sorry, what?
My IGF-1 went from about 92 prior to taking the HG, and now it's running at 166.
And 166 is exactly where I want it. I want it 150 to 200, you know, never below 125. So, yeah, when you get down under 125, your risk of premature death and disability starts to rise. So you're in a real nice place. Just keep it up. And I'm not going to ask you who wrote it for you, because if it's somebody in this state, I don't want to know.
That's right. John, thank you for that call. Let us go to Bothell and talk to Heather. Heather, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question. Hi. I had a question for Dr. Nelson. I am 50. I just turned 50. I had an MRI done of April of 2019 because I was having some odd knee pain. And the doctor originally thought maybe it was meniscus. My meniscus is fine. The MRI, the main thing that came back was that there was some scarring on the MCL. And so the two options I had was wait and see if it felt better or do some physical therapy and see if that helped. Chose to do the physical therapy. And that definitely helped with the just general pain that I was feeling and helped strengthen it. But there are certain exercises that I can't do without feeling it later. The main thing being running. And the physical therapist did feel that there was some laxity in my ACL. So I didn't know, and I really miss running, and I didn't know if that was something stem cell might be able to help or fix, or if once the tendons and ligaments are scarred and lax, if you're just stuck with it.
No, that's a great question. I would say absolutely not too late. You know, even PRP, if it's an MCL situation, just plain old PRP, which is a lot less expensive than stem cell, and to strengthen those ligaments and to stiffen them up, that's a well-established therapy for ligamentous issues, including ligamentous laxity. And if you came in my office today, I'd say, you know, maybe just a PRP, which is a very simple thing. We take your own blood, we process it, get the PRP fraction, platelet-rich plasma, which has 9 different growth factors.
9 different growth factors.
You know, Dr. Mixon, and it's great to have him here, because I look at him just making sure that he's fact-checking me as I speak. And I love it. I love it.
And I'm not shy about making suggestions.
That's fine. I love it. So PRP, which is a lot less expensive, and now stem cell, obviously, I would like to see the MRI and x-ray myself, just to see what else is going on. But that situation, a PRP injection. Now, it may take more than one. It might be a series of, two to three injections over a period of, say, 2 or 3 months. But I think that's something that's readily addressable with PRP. The big ace in the hole would be stem cell. But I'm just from what you're telling me and not having seen you in person, I'm thinking, man, that's an ideal case for PRP.
Oh, that's wonderful. So they take your blood, do stuff with it, and then inject it into your knee, or how does...
Yes.
How does that work?
That's it in a nutshell. We take your own blood, which is important, so it's autologous PRP, which means coming out of your own body. It's not some off-the-shelf product. And we're just taking out the platelet fraction, where the plasma fraction, which contains mostly platelets, and we're injecting that where it needs to go to work. And in this case, okay, in a MCL situation, that's an ideal target for PRP therapy.
Oh, wonderful. And is your office taking appointments?
We certainly are.
You better believe
us. Okay. Certainly are.
Okay. Wow.
With coronavirus, remember, they shut all the doctors down for a long time.
Right. Yeah. No, we were down to half a day a week, Pete, as you know, for a long time. But now we're pretty much up to full speed.
So let me give out the number for you, Heather, as well as many others, I'm sure, that are listening right now. You can make your own appointment at 425-823-4000.
Yes.
That's 425-823-4000. And I encourage you to do that.
And if I can give you the secret, I'm going to give her the secret backline number, just because it's a busy clinic. There's 15 other doctors.
Let's see if I've got it. 425-636-4442.
That's it. You have it.
Okay. Okay. So you want me to start using that number now?
I would use kind of both. I like to give out the back, because some people, you know, they call the main number. It's a busy clinic, and they get this message that they're in line and they're going to have to wait 30 minutes. So I always like to give that bailout backline number.
Here it is, 425-636-4442.
Right. Perfect. And I always like to encourage people also go to the website, conqueringyourpain.com, and you can make an appointment there as well. You can request an appointment on conqueringyourpain.com.
Excellent. How about that, Heather?
Wonderful. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
You know, just yesterday, a friend called me who has a son in his 30s with a hip problem that's getting worse and worse and
worse. In his 30s, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. And so apparently the doctor is telling them that it may not be, it's not necessarily a hip replacement that's needed, but they don't really know what's going on. And now the pain is starting in his left hip.
Mm.
So the right hip is real bad. The left hip is starting to get bad. And so I told my friend of many years, your son call you, because you need a good diagnostician to determine what it is. And it made me think of the PRP. In fact, I told her about this, the platelet-rich plasma. That might be something that would be appropriate
for
her son.
Because at that age, it's more likely a bursitis than a true arthritis, but who knows?
Absolutely. When
you
people,
won't know unless you look.
Dr. McSnyder, you know, when people say hip pain, it can be
anywhere
low back, hip.
It can be deferred.
Bursitis out here. So
deferred pain, and who knows?
Right.
That's your job.
Absolutely. And at 30, I'm just going to make a blanket statement. That's way too young to have any hip surgery. I don't care if it's minimally invasive, 30. That's what I would call a fool's errand.
Stay away from the scalpels.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Anyway,
That's a general statement. Of course, every case is different. That's too young to have.
I told her to have her son call in during the show if she was able to get him.
He
may call here in a few minutes. Who knows? But in any event, platelet-rich plasma can be a technique used, a protocol used all by itself, or like with me, Dan, with my annular tears in my low back, you did the stem cell with the PRP.
Yep. Correct.
And sort of you jokingly say you use the PRP like a fertilizer.
Stem cell like the seeds and the PRP like the fertilizer.
That's right.
It works for most people. Yeah.
That's right.
So platelet-rich plasma is kind of fascinating stuff to start with. Right. You know, the platelets, these little structures, usually have several hundred thousand of them in a cc of blood.
Right.
And they are designed because we are fallible creatures. We break little blood vessels and veins all the time. And the platelet's job is to flood over to where that little vessel is broken, plug it up, then the platelets dissolve, and they put these 9 growth factors in, and they cause the vessel to heal almost overnight. It's very rapid growth and healing. And what we've learned to do over the years, and the orthopedists, of course, were the first ones to use it, and then the plastic surgeons got involved. As you can take a person's blood, you isolate their platelet. You spin it down the first time, and you get rid of the red cells and the white cells. And then you take it, that serum containing the platelets, and you spin it a second time at higher speed, and you pack all the platelets down into the bottom half. You draw off the top half and throw it away. And now you have platelet-rich plasma that has 3 to 4 times as many platelets per volume as normal blood. And you can inject that almost anywhere in the body and trigger growth. And in our clinic, Dr. Umat uses it a lot in the face.
Yeah, it's great.
And she has injected my face umpteen times. I think she just loves sticking the boss with a needle.
that's just a side benefit.
Well, how many jobs do you get where you get to stick the boss with a needle on a regular basis? But yeah, and I had to put it in my cheeks. And it triggers my subcutaneous fat that's getting old and fading away to grow back and fill it out rather than putting artificial fillers in.
Right.
I prefer to have my own tissue.
Your own fillers coming out of your own body.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have put PRP into my cheeks and face and around my eyes several times.
So is that what they refer to as the vampire facelift? Is that
that's part of it? Yeah.
I've heard that out there, and I just didn't know. But the PRP for sure. Yeah.
And the PRP works very well. And instead of putting artificial fillers in, you just grow your own tissue.
Perfect. There is so much. Now, I'm assuming all of what you're talking about, general practitioners, primary care physicians, do they do this?
No.
No. No.
They think it's magic.
Right. It is
maybe black magic. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's fast. Yes, yeah. Okay, I'll control myself. We will be back in about 15 seconds. We do a top of the hour news break. We have to do it by law, but it will be back in like 20 seconds at the most for hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine, and we're going to keep Dr. Dan Nelson here. So don't go far. I think Dr. Umat is coming in about a half hour, but we've got Dr. Dan Nelson. Don't go far.